Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips bonus edition. And the reason there's a bonus edition is that I have received another question from my old friend Johnson in India. So hi to Johnson and Cicely and the boys over there. I hope you're having a wonderful time, and it's lovely to hear from you. And if any of you are listening to this or watching it and you've got a question about the Bible, then please do email me, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. That's malcolm@malcolmcox.org. I'll do my best to see what I can come up with. So here is Johnson's question, which I've slightly rephrased. So let me see if I get this right. Going back to the days of Moses, why did God ask Moses to make a bronze snake in Numbers 21? In Exodus 20, he gave 10 commandments, and in Exodus 34, warned them against making idols. Was God asking Moses to make an idol? Later on, we see Israel worshipping the bronze snake, and Hezekiah, in his day, it takes a long time until he comes around to destroy it in 2 Kings 18, so they worship it from time to time in between. So it seems like it became a problem for the Israelites. Did Moses do something wrong? Did God contradict himself by commanding the Israelites not to make idols and then telling Moses to make this bronze snake? So let's have a think about this today. First of all, looking at the passage. So in Numbers 21, it says this. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient along the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water. And we did test this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake, he looked at the bronze snake, and they looked at the bronze snake, then they lived. So that's what's going on. A rather curious set of incidences that we see there. So let's think about what this means, or at least what it might mean, and then let me know what you think. So first of all, God does command his people to not make, amongst other things, images of animals. To quote from Exodus 20, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Exodus 20. Now, that's not an arbitrary command, but as the context reveals here, one connected with the dangers of God's people turning such physical manifestations or representations of animals into something to be worshipped instead of himself. That's the problem, instead of him. Now in Exodus 34 verse 17, God says, "Do not make any idols." Now that command is given, what's happened just before that, two chapters earlier in Exodus 32, is they've had the worshipping of the golden calf, you may remember. That's what's been going on. That's in the background when the command in Exodus 34 is given, "Do not make any idols." So the problem there is not so much that the people of Israel made something out of metal. Maybe that's not the key issue, but the real problem is that they worshipped it as a representation of Yahweh. The Tyndale commentary, which I like on this passage, and that's worth getting the Tyndale commentary on this passage. It says, "To worship a statue while calling it Yahweh is not to worship Yahweh." So you may be worshipping a statue calling it Yahweh, but that's not worshipping Yahweh. That's not how God defines it. Now here, going back to the bronze snake is not being worshipped. It's being looked at, but critically, it's not being worshipped, at least not in the context of when Moses makes it, sticks it on the pole and provides it for people. It's not being worshipped, therefore it's not an idol. Moses is not making an idol because he's not making something to be worshipped. In fact, instead, it is a source of God's power for healing, given by God to his people. Of course, it's tremendously sad that the Israelites forgot the purpose of the bronze snake and turned it later into an idol. Hezekiah took very drastic action in destroying it later. Whether that was the best solution or not, whether he was meant to or not, I don't know that it comments on that. But at least I suppose it did prevent the Israelites from continuing to worship it as an idol. It says in 2 Kings 18, he broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. So let's now think of, just draw these threads together and think about what this actually means. Now, clearly the whole incident is back in Moses' day is very surprising and a little confusing, I'd have to say. Why a snake, for example? Why a bronze image of a snake? Snakes are universally feared in all cultures. They are despised, and especially by Israelites, considering the role of the serpent in Eden. So why a snake? Well, of course, we've got the snakes biting the people. Now we have a snake provided by God. Perhaps it's one image here is God turning the tables. God does this again and again. He uses a tool of the enemy, you might say, and turns it into something that's now victorious. The cross of Christ was something that was criminals were hung on, people who had been defeated, but he turns it into a symbol of victory, doesn't he? So there are lots of parallels with that kind of thinking in the Old and New Testaments. Why bronze? Why a bronze snake? It must have taken Moses quite a while to make a bronze snake. It's not something you can make quickly. Why not a wooden snake, which could have been made quickly and put up on a pole and perhaps more people may have lived? Why a bronze one? Took a while. And why the instruction to look at it? Look at the bronze snake. What about the inherent dangers of it becoming an idol that could be worshipped? Truth is, we can only speculate about God's reasoning because he doesn't reveal it here. But perhaps this is an illustration of God calling his people back to trust him. Perhaps as Moses made the snake, it became known he's making the snake. Perhaps there's a sense in which there's a need for the people to reflect. What have we been doing? What is happening? They know Moses has received instruction. He's making the snake or got some bronze smiths, I'm assuming that's what you call them, to make the snake. They take some time over it. And they're wondering what God's message is, so that when it's revealed, put on the pole and brought out and put up there for everybody to see, that perhaps it helps people really appreciate that, oh, this is from God. Let us be obedient. And that perhaps the instruction to turn and look at it is a physical way for the people to turn from what they've been doing to turn to God. So there's a humbling of themselves. There's, in fact, a repentance turning to God's way. Perhaps that's part of it, is now demonstrating faith in him by looking at the snake rather than demonstrating the lack of faith, which had caused the whole problem in the first place. Sometimes the way God works is by calling us to act in ways that don't seem humanly logical. Doesn't that happen again and again in the scriptures? I mean, consider, say, Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11, when Peter gets the call to go and visit Cornelius, but what he has first is the vision of the net being lowered from heaven with all the animals, and he's called to get up and kill and eat. A Jew being called to get up and kill and eat animals which are unclean, the sort of things that a Jew should not eat. But it's part of the way God prepares Peter to go and meet Cornelius and then share the good news with him. And so God often does things which seem rather strange. Perhaps Moses and Peter had a conversation about these two incidents in the next life. It'd be interesting to listen to Moses talk to Peter about, do you know the list of strange things God, strange things God had me do. And Peter could say, ah, tell me all about it. Let me tell you about the strange things God had me do. And then they would have conversations with Isaiah and Ezekiel and Hosea and the Apostle Paul and who knows how many other people. Perhaps we would join in with the strange things God has called us to do. So we don't always know why God does this, but nonetheless, it's a powerful, this incident in Exodus there is a powerful illustration of the fact that God has mercy on his people. Yes, he sent the venomous snakes, but he had to call them back. If he didn't call them back to obedience and to loyalty to the covenant that was being established, then they were no longer his people. If they were no longer his people, they were forfeiting that special relationship they had with him. And so he provides this bronze snake for them to turn and look. And, you know, we've got to look at the right things, haven't we? So there are times in our lives when we drift away. We need to turn our gaze back on God, turn our gaze back on Jesus, turn our gaze back on the cross. And then we find fresh life, new life, fresh life, a refreshed spirit. And that's part of why we read our Bible and pray and have what we call our quiet times and go to and have fellowship with one another and go to our church events, is to get refreshed, to look, to get our gaze back on the right things again. So, well, I hope this makes some kind of sense, Johnson. And thank you for your question again. Please keep sending them. They make me think, which is no bad thing. If any of you out there have any other thoughts about this passage, I'd love to know. So drop a comment in the comment box, whether you're listening to the podcast or watching the YouTube video. Leave a comment so that we can learn from you, so that we can learn together. We learn best when we're learning in community. If you can think of anybody who might be interested in this, pass the link on and hit the like button, the subscribe button. You'll find out more recordings as they come out. You'll be the first to hear about them. And if you could leave a review for the podcast, I'd be really grateful for that. So thanks so much. And I hope that between now and the next time we see each other, you'll have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. Take care and God bless.